Good afternoon and welcome to Quality of Life, the radio show. We're sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. That's the CEO of that organization is co-host Dr. Jack McGettigan, who's here today. I'm Ronald Zack. I'm from Ronald Zack Law, and I'm also from Quality of Life Medical Center, where I practice half-time over there and then half-time at the law office. We're also joined by attorney Veronica Sternitsky from Ronald Zack Law, who's often here with us and graces us with her presence. And we're going to be hearing from Mimi Aguila, the executive director of We Care Tucson. We'll be hearing from her in the next couple of segments. This segment is, if you've ever heard the show, you know we have some news. We have some news. Well, there. Legal and medical news you can't use. And we have some delayed reflexes and reactions also.
The man of a thousand fingers.
This is when we present some stories that are uninformative and useless bits of news that impact sometimes on law, sometimes on medicine, and try to work in the gory as well. We're gonna open. Veronica, you had a story you wanted to present.
I do. So I love amusement parks. I don't know about the rest of you, but apparently there's an amusement park in Ontario called Wonderland Theme Park, where a ride that involved being strapped to a chair and flipped upside down got stuck upside down for 30 minutes. I can't imagine what it'd be like to stuck upside down that long. I mean, the medical implications, Dr. McGettigan.
There's a lawsuit there, I'm sure, for the lawyers in the group.
It's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, I know how you guys work.
So hopefully everyone got out of there all right. Nothing I could find said anyone was harmed, but just stuck there for a good half hour upside down.
I don't think there has to be harm for a lawsuit. It's just the potential.
A creative definition of harm.
Yeah, there needs to be some damage. Need damages for a tort.
And I think there'd be some PTSD from that.
Yeah, well, that'd be a damage.
Yeah.
That'd be harm for sure.
Can I get a some kind of royalty for that suggestion or...
No, but thanks for offering. On the same note, really, hanging upside down, there's this funeral home in Colorado, Penrose, Colorado. The name of the funeral home, I love this, Return to Nature Funeral Home. And there was an odor coming from the funeral home. This is a place where they offer green and natural burial services. And so they don't embalm. You don't embalm for those kinds of things. You're supposed to refrigerate. I don't think they did that either. But they found 189 decaying bodies in this building. And they couldn't find the owners. They don't know where the owners are. They're working now on identifying these 189 decaying bodies. With fingerprints, dental records, DNA samples, it's going to definitely take a while. There have been no arrests, no charges. They don't know where these owners are. They were evicted from another property after failing to pay taxes, and they're being sued by a crematory because they, I guess they didn't pay them. So much for green burial. Here's a woman who was hearing strange sounds. So she said that she heard something. This is from the New England Journal of Medicine. This is
Spider Woman.
This is science, yeah. She had a spider in her ear. But what was interesting, it was in there 4 days at least. She heard it walking around 4 days prior to, I guess, going for medical attention. Felt a creature moving inside her left ear. And the unusual thing about this is that the spider was there long enough, probably maybe more than 4 days, that it shed an exoskeleton. So not only was there a spider, there was an exoskeleton of a spider in her ear.
And she laid some, and there were eggs that were laid there too, weren't there?
There were some eggs, and they're now aborted spiders. So there is a little public service announcement on here. Don't, if you feel a spider in your ear, don't stick anything in there. That's what they say, because you might push it in farther.
Now, that is something we can take care of at our clinic, you know.
We could. I have not removed a spider back in my emergency room days, and I'm sure you have too, removed lots of weird things from kids' ears and noses.
And adults, I've removed some weird things from things besides ears and noses.
That's right.
You can, that's a different show.
And there are seven words that we can't say.
And now it's...
wasn't even going there.
Here's
and now it's time to play Pick Your Perversion.
Here's an estate planning story that's interesting. And I know our guest today is from Chicago, Charles Haller, the magic man behind the glass today, is also spent some time in Chicago. I've spent time in Chicago.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
That's right. And so this, you may have heard, this story has been going on for years. This guy, Joseph Stansack, he was described as a frugal, secretly wealthy, South Side recluse. And he died in 2016. He died quite a while ago. And he had $11 million in the bank. And he had no relatives, nobody around to inherit. He didn't have a will, they thought. And so the attorney who was assigned, this attorney was assigned to be his executor and find relatives. And of course, it takes years and years to do that. So they've just now, after 16 to 23, so for 7 years, had tracked down 119 distant relatives that were going to get this money all divided among them. And then, boom, somebody comes up with a will just this year in June. And the will is leaves everything to a daycare center, child care center, Smart Kids Child Care Inc., and the president of that company, Asad Mahmood. And there were supposedly two copies of the will produced. It doesn't sound like there was any original. There was supposedly one copy of the will that was with the attorney who drafted the will, they say, a personal injury attorney who drafted the will. The personal injury attorney was killed in a plane crash soon after the will was written, like within the year. He was supposedly the one who was going to notify Mr. Mahmood, who after 7 years realized that this guy had died and that he's entitled to the money. So the executor, which kind of puzzles me, is arguing against the will. It's a poorly drafted will, but it was drafted by a personal injury attorney. So what do you expect? He says it was found only after the case made international headlines and 7 years after the guy died. So it's going to court. There's a hearing coming up, I think, in December. And that's pretty interesting. Yeah, December 13th. So we'll have to keep that on our radar, keep track of that, because...
Is that a Friday?
I don't know. Let's look that up. Let's ask Alexa. Here's a woman. Now this is, and there was, I think something, I was having a conversation earlier with somebody about lawsuits. So I'll ask the attorney in the room, the other attorney in the room. Do you ever sue somebody on principle?
I mean, you can sue for anything, but it's a bad idea.
Yeah, so when people sue for principle, so this is actually an attorney who is flying on American Airlines, Erica Hamilton. She has 18-month-old twins. So she gets a ticket for one of her daughters to sit in the seat, because you can sit in the seat as long as you can sit up. You don't, there's no age for like a car seat or anything. And the other kid, she can hold on her lap. And that's airline policy. Well, she got into a tiff with the flight attendant who wouldn't let her let the kids sit up without a car seat. It was finally resolved because some stranger offered to hold the kid on her lap. I would never do that. But somebody did, and she got to her destination. She sued American Airlines. They wouldn't refund the money for that that one seat, and they wanted to fight. So she sued them in small claims court, and she won. And she made the statement that something about principle. She said the money involved was not a large amount, but she'd maintained all along that it was about principles, which is kind of a futile thing. So she got back her 4,500 miles that she paid for the flight with, and $100 court costs. Amazing. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Mimi Aguilar from We Care Tucson. Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life, the radio show, with co-hosts Ronald Zach and Dr. Jack McGettigan, and with Veronica Sternitsky. You can call the show and join the conversation at 520-790-2040. And we would love to hear from you. I'm going to apologize in advance too, in for mispronouncing Mimi Aguila's last name. I'm trying, but there is no R in the end. It's Aguila. She's the executive director of a wonderful organization, We Care Tucson. Mimi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. Can you tell us what is We Care Tucson?
We Care Tucson is a nonprofit whose mission is to remove barriers to information, education, and wellness. We do this by taking in used technology and repurposing it, refurbishing it, and then we give it out at low cost in a showroom. Or we have a low-cost computer referral program for those that are socioeconomically challenged. What we can't use, we then recycle, which keeps it out of our local landfill. And then the second part of our mission is wellness, and we give out free medical supplies, and we are a loan chest for medical equipment.
What kind of medical equipment?
Wheelchairs, four-wheel walkers, two-wheel walkers, crutches, canes, commodes, shower chairs, hospital beds.
And you mentioned supplies. Is that something different?
Medical supplies like incontinence products, which is the biggest, and wound care, bandages, wraps, colonoscopy products, and then things like heating pads and boots, you know, that when you have a foot problem, knee braces. We have nebulizers that we can't give out, blood pressure cuffs, things like that.
And who do you give those things to?
To anybody. The idea is to remove the barrier. So anybody that is in need, basically a lot of it is those that do not have access to insurance or are homeless, just anybody. But we find that, too, a lot of times is somebody needs something and they're waiting for the approval for the insurance. They've got the insurance, but it's just something they can't just generally afford. So we get all walks of life. And we don't ask anything.
And so there's no qualification. You don't have to
exactly
be in a certain socioeconomic group.
We don't ask anything.
And people, to get supplies, equipment, do they come into a facility?
Yes, we're located at 3029 North Stone. So that's Stone in Fort Lowell, just south on Stone, on the west side of the street. And we're open Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 to 3:30, and Wednesdays from noon to 6.
Do you deliver?
No.
No. To have your own pickup or?
Yeah, and most of the people come in and are looking for supplies. Once in a while, we can help make arrangements for something like a bed, you know, hospital bed. We get them in and they go out, or we find homes for them fairly quickly because we don't have a large storage. And we rely on donations from it. Everything is used. So we take in medical supplies and we take everything. And I have an RN who comes in and sorts what we are questionable about, what we're not sure, gets put in an area. And my RN comes in and says, nope, can't put that out, but you can have this out. And we rely also on this, the same for the equipment.
What's the history behind this nonprofit?
So We Care Tucson was started in 1998, but they were started as World Care. And, you know, they were collecting things that were needed wherever there was a disaster, man-made or an act of God, and shipping that out and stuff. And after years, they realized that, you know, there's a need locally, and began to focus like that locally. But then they also, you know, you can't be everything to everybody. So they began to hone and look at what's the real need. And that's why we narrowed our focus. And in 2020, officially changed the nonprofit name so that it reflected what we really do. And that's when it became We Care Tucson.
And just curious, this wasn't your company or your...
No, I'm...
What was the attraction for you to get involved with them?
I actually love what the mission is. I like that we're there to help people, and that we don't ask anything of you. You don't have to fill out a form. If you just come in, and I like that especially on the technology side, as a single parent raising a kid years and years ago when, you know, they weren't giving out stuff in the school and I needed to get something, it was very, very hard. We have those at very affordable prices. Plus, we do have one referral program where we don't take the information. The agency does. Like, any agency can refer someone to our low-cost computer referral program, and they would get a computer, a laptop or a desktop that is designed with a student or someone working from home in mind, because it's got enough RAM and memory. It's Wi-Fi enabled. It's got a microphone and camera.
Now, at what time frame did those come to be? Because I've got a lot of leftover computers lying around.
Well, we will take all of it. So, and in fact, someone just brought us a Macintosh, literally said Macintosh, old, in working condition. So we take it all in. Sometimes it's just the parts that we'll need out of it, and restore it, get it up to at least Windows 10 on there, or a Linux operating system so that it can be used. And what we can't use, we recycle.
And how do you do that?
So we have a slew of wonderful volunteers. We partner with a lot of different agencies, like Beacon, Achieve, Goodwill, and many others, that we get their volunteers in, and they take apart the components and we separate them out. And we have local recyclers that we work with. And some will take wires, and some will take, you know, motherboards, and some will take other things. So we try to keep as much as we can local and support the local economy.
Do you still have that Macintosh?
Actually, we do. We actually have a little area, and we call it the museum, that has old Apple stuff, mainly Apple, but it'll have, we had a typewriter. It was amusing.
You have a typewriter?
Yeah. Oh, it's an electric one too, at least, so it's not way old, but.
What about radios?
We have some of those, and we have a lot of those.
Ooh, and new radios.
And at this time of.
That's what I was thinking of, Charles.
At this time of year, we put a lot more things out, like gaming systems and stuff, as you get into the holidays. We have TVs. And what else do we have? We have, you know, monitors. We have the power cords, things like that, mouses, keyboards, computer bags.
Excellent.
Do you have any use at all for medical clinic old equipment, like beds? Not medical beds, but like exam table beds?
We get those in and we recycle them. Okay. We were blessed with a great partnership with Ventana Medical Supply, now Roche, and we get a lot of their stuff. And we take that because we also get their laptops and computers and things. And we got a lot from Northwest Medical when they were clearing out one of their buildings that they were going to rent. We got all kinds of things, like these stands that the computers would go on, and they were portable, and they had the blood pressure cuffs and stuff like that. So we do take all of that in because it becomes a revenue stream for us.
You have, I'm looking at your brochure, and in the recycling electronics, there's something regarding wiping the hard drive and requesting a certificate of hard drive destruction. Is that you wipe the hard drive? And
not me personally. I have wonderful
from
staff.
Your company.
Yeah. Yes, we have. There's a couple of different ways we can do it. We wipe all hard drives that come in just to make sure. Even though people tell us somebody may want a hard drive wiped, we will do that. We ask they want a certificate. They actually gas it. It's a way of, they put it in a machine and it's gassed and gets rid of everything. But there's also, we also ask if they want it destroyed. Some people, because of the nature of the businesses that are donating to us, for attorneys, for example, want
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Want it, you know, destroyed. So we'll drill through the hard drives.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Roberta. Roberta's calling. Please hold on, Roberta. Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life, the radio show. You can join the show at 790-2040. It's area code 520-790-2040. We're speaking with Mimi Aguila from We Care Tucson, and just some fascinating stuff. And Roberta has called with a question. Roberta, thank you for calling, and thanks for listening.
Well, thank you. May I have a phone number to contact you, and do you take oxygen tanks?
Our phone number is 520-514-1588, and we will take the oxygen tanks. We don't give them out to people, but we would get them recycled.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks, Roberta. Nice hearing from you. And what is your website?
www.wecaretucson.org.
Very good.
You're ready for a tough one?
Go for it.
Actually, I'd be interested to hear from you some of the situations where you've helped some folks, ones that have kind of touched your heart, if you have some of those to share.
Oh, I got tons of them. When I first started there, I had this, it was summer, and this gentleman came in with a beautiful dog, and he was homeless, and he asked, he was looking for a phone, and said, could I work in exchange? Absolutely. And he came and he worked, and he was cutting wires and pulling copper. That was when copper was worth a little bit more than it is now. Got him a phone. He asked, is there any way he could have a tablet? And I'm like, yeah, you know, would you rather the tablet? He goes, no, I'm going to work tomorrow. And he came, and he would come periodically and do work and stuff, and he would bring us, you know, used stuff that he would find that we would recycle. He would bring furniture and ask if we wanted that. Very nice guy, but was homeless. Then I didn't see him for a long time. And then he came back, and he thanked us for helping him, and he was able to get into housing. But he was way on the east side, and so it was hard for him to get over here. And he wanted to buy a laptop. You get heartwarming people that do things like that. We get, I have a gentleman who was working for us, and he told us his story. He had come in to get a laptop through the referral program, the low cost, and was just going into drug rehab. And he got that. It helped. Now he came back to us and he's working as a volunteer through one of the programs. He turned his life around, and it was because he was able to get things. So we get stories like that. We get, I have another woman who called and was looking for, she was homebound, wheelchair bound, and she had no furniture and was just looking for a recliner that could lift her up. And we don't usually get that, but I told her I'd take her name and phone number and see what would happen. Literally 2 hours later, someone called and said they had a recliner. Would we take it? Well, we don't have a truck. They were willing to bring it over. They dropped it off, and one of our other volunteers took it down to this woman. I was able to call her back, and she was able to get it. We get a lot of things like that happening, where someone is coming in looking for something that we don't have, or we're out of wheelchairs or a transport, or they need a bariatric one or a very narrow one, and we don't have it. And literally hours or a couple days later, it comes in.
It reminds me of a story. I've got a good friend, a physician, who recently moved out of her home. And it was a two-story home. And she moved into an assisted living situation, a single story. But she had this device that she could sit in. It would take her up a flight of stairs. And when she moved out, she said she wanted to get rid of it or, you know, give it to somebody. But she couldn't find anybody that wanted it. Would that be something that you would have a use for?
We've taken one. If they've got it off, if it's taken down, we won't come in and take it down. And we have gone and picked that up. We've gotten ramps, all sorts of things.
I actually know the guys that took it out because they work for me. We had to get it out of the way so she could move out because it was in the way in the stairs. So. Well, you might have picked up some extra goodies today.
Do you guys know the state motto? Detat Deus, God enriches.
Didn't know that.
Thank you.
Thank you, behind the curtain, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
I will tell you right now, the big need we see is incontinence products. We are like out. In fact, I posted on social media that We Care Tucson is like old Mother Hubbard. Our shelves are bare of that kind of thing. And it just shows an incredible need that we have here in the community. And I see my regulars that come in that depend on us. They, you know, some of them just don't have transportation. They're in the neighborhood. Can't afford it. It's a choice of food or things like incontinence products. But we're seeing more and more people for it. And we can't keep them on the shelves.
Do you refer to other agencies?
Yes, we do. We work with like Southwest Medical Aid. So the difference between us and Southwest Medical Aid is we would have to refer someone to them. We put in the referral. Mm. Anybody can walk in for us. But they only do medical equipment. We do refer to the diaper bank, and the diaper bank will refer to us. But again, they don't have that much, and they do limit the number that you take. We get a lot of referrals from Pima Council on Aging. I go down to a health and wellness networking group in Green Valley, and it's held at Friends Indeed, which gives out medical equipment for the Green Valley area. But sometimes they get in supplies, and they'll give it to us. And if I ask them that, you know, we're really running down on something. So we do refer and partner with other agencies.
Do you take cash donations too, that so that you can purchase these things? Or
absolutely. We take, in fact, we typically in the past have not done any big fundraisers. We just rely on the generosity of Tucson, which is a very generous community. But this year we are doing a pickleball tournament, the Picklelicious Jingle Jam, on December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Where?
It is going to be at the Gallery Sports Club in off of Dove Mountain in Marana.
Okay.
But it's open. We've got people playing all over, from all over, you know, Southern Arizona. And we have mixed doubles, women's doubles, and men's doubles.
And you cycle, but do you also pickle?
No. Oh. My board chair pickles. She made me play once. I was a tennis player. It's fun. It's a little bit different.
The scoring is very unique.
Definitely. And you have to call your player one of two, serving one. I'm like, it's a lot of thinking.
It helps prevent Alzheimer's, we learned last week.
That's true.
A couple things are the exercise and the mental test. Player one, player two, that's hard to remember sometimes.
That's right. Mental exercise.
Definitely.
And you're prepared for the apocalypse.
Mimi, how long have you been with We Care Tucson?
I have been with them for a year and a half.
And what did you do before?
Before that, I was a senior development director for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation here in Tucson.
Oh.
I've worked in nonprofits since I moved to Tucson. I kind of did a 180 from what I used to do.
And what was that?
I worked in for the Department of Justice auditing prisons and jails in a partnership with the American Medical Association.
Oh, okay. And you, how long have you been in Tucson?
26 years. 26 years, yeah. 97.
And earlier you had said you came here because of the heat.
Yeah, I like warm weather. I do not like shoveling snow. I like to ski, but not shovel it.
Do you have a favorite ski resort? Skiing's one of my things too.
Oh, well, I love skiing in Vail.
Okay.
Though I learned in the East Coast, so it was great to come to the West.
You need to try Telluride.
I want to cycle in Telluride.
Well, that would be work. Skiing, you get to go downhill.
Two different times a year, too.
Yes.
Definitely.
I got a question about other organizations and other charities. Are you familiar with the Tucson Fire Foundation and the business that they have called Safe Shift?
Absolutely. I knew Patty Valance, who Patty and
she
I were close
it.
Friends.
Yeah. Yeah, Patty got me involved in all kinds of volunteer work that I hadn't planned on volunteering for.
She was good at that.
Yeah. All Definitely. Right. As long as you're familiar with them.
Absolutely. Actually, I live down the street from them.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone wanted to donate, what would be the best way for them to do that?
To just come on down during our regular business hours, and we'll help you unload it. As long as it can fit in a large SUV, we can go, we'll pick it up if it's within the area of Tucson. But come on down. We have Recycle Saturday. the third Saturday of the month, and that's when we're open on Saturdays from 9 to 1. And we also, and I didn't mention this, but when you brought that question, it reminded me, we teach a basic computer class for seniors. And we do it in partnership with one of the Medicare stores on Wednesdays, and then the first and third Saturdays of the month, we do it in our store.
So if someone wanted to make a monetary donation, do they come down with a check? Do they call you? Can they go to the website?
All of the above, but the website's great. You can donate right on the website, or you can come down and donate to us. And after November 1st, you'll be able to text to donate. I'll have the word for it.
We're going to take a short break. You can call the show, Quality of Life, the radio show, 520-790-2040. And we'll be right back and ask a few more questions of Mimi Aguila. Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life radio show, sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. And I'm co-host Ronald Zack from Ronald Zack Law and Quality of Life. And the other co-host, Dr. Jack McGettigan from Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. Veronica Sternitsky from Ronald Zack Law is here to answer the hard questions. And you can call us, join the conversation, 520-790-2040. And we're talking with Mimi Aguila from We Care Tucson, and has been telling us about their used medical equipment that's available, refurbished electronics, and we just learned there's a repair shop there too.
We Care Repair.
I like it.
And you can bring in your laptops and desktops that aren't working. And we have a threshold. We at a certain dollar limit, I believe they set it at like $90 or so, that will tell you that it's not worth repairing anymore, so that you're not spending a lot of money putting in something. And we try to keep it very reasonable. And they will look it over to do a quick assessment and then tell you what you might need.
So who is, and that's, is that part of the nonprofit as well?
Yep.
And who are the repair people you hire?
They're my tech and e-recycling director oversees that, along with a couple of volunteers that work with us, and we have volunteers that we're training. That come in and want to learn to do things and to learn to do the repair part. So they're overseeing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What an idea. I love to train to do different things.
I always have a question. When you came in to join us today, what was your biggest fear of a question we were going to ask you that maybe you couldn't answer?
Oh, I wasn't afraid of, I mean, I'm, if you ask me something that I...
Well, Halloween's coming up, so there has to be a fear out there somewhere.
Oh, well, I'm afraid of heights. I don't like spiders and snakes. And, you know, but I learned a long time ago, if you're asked something, the best thing is, if you don't know the answer to it, be honest and say, I'm sorry, I don't know that, but I will find out and get back to you. Rather than worry about what you might ask that I don't know or try to learn, it's easier to admit what I don't know, and there's a lot of that, and just tell you that I will get the answer for you.
Well, what haven't we asked you that we need to know about?
That... we take everything in, and that, I guess the thing to know is that everybody's welcome, that there's no criteria for coming in. We don't question. We're not going to ask you to show us your, you know, bank statement or anything. That it's warm and welcoming, and we will try to help you the best we can. And I have great staff and volunteers that are always willing to help. And a lot of my volunteers are people that got help from us and have come back to give back.
I like that.
If people want to donate incontinence care products, could they, say, do like a once-a-month delivery? Like I know at Sister Jose's, people will do like a once-a-month pallet of water deliveries. Could you do like a once-a-month, put something on a renewal so that it would just get delivered to you once a month? Would that be a good way for people to donate?
Absolutely. We love things like that.
Yeah.
So donations that way, too. Give monthly.
Right. Yeah. Well, that way, as the need occurs, something new is delivered.
That would be a wonderful thing to have going.
And they can find out more at wecaretucson.org. Is that correct?
Correct.
And 514-1588.
Correct.
At the speed of the pen.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So if someone wants to volunteer, do they call you first? Do they just show up and say, I'm here to work?
You can go on our website, and there's ways to give. And one of the ways to give is your time. And you can fill out a little form that just gives us your name and email and what area you're interested in volunteering. And then my person that coordinates the volunteers would give you a call. Or you can just stop in. People stop in. We take it any which way. I'm not fussy.
When World Care was first started, the progenitor of your organization, who founded it?
That is a really great question. And sorry, but I don't remember the person's name. I can get back to you with that.
No sooner said than done about the question you didn't know. But that's okay. It's just always interesting. You know, it's really fascinating to see how many organizations got their start in Tucson or actually still live here. Like the Southwest Center for Biological Diversity, mm-hmm. for instance, is here. And they're a great thorn in the side to progress, but they're here.
Well said.
Two lawyers in the room. Wonder if that's a lead. All right.
So,
go ahead. Sorry.
Is there anything that your organization is looking to expand into? Any kind of needs that you're encountering that aren't being met otherwise that you might try to fill in the future?
Well, we did the classes. We had an opportunity to do computer classes through a grant from DigUnity, and we're able to partner with United Health's Medicare store to do that. Now we do it at Marana Parks and Rec as well, and our own store. And didn't know if there would be a great need for it, and I was very surprised. There's a huge need. The grant, we had to do 100 people in the class through between June 1st and September 30th. We did that. We were able to renew it for a second section and had to do from September 30th to Thanksgiving another 100, and we're just about done. We're going to continue on, but there's always people in the class every week.
And that's just the basics, or do you get beyond the basics?
We have a basics plus now, and then we have some people that come back and will help cover areas that they're interested in or they're having a problem with. And so we do expand it because people are at different places. You know, basic means a lot of different things to a lot of people. And so we try to fill it. And if we can't cover, it's an hour and a half class, they'll come back. And it's all free.
Who's teaching that?
One of my staff, and he's wonderful. His name is Waylon, and he is a great guy. Very patient, especially when you're dealing with the elderly. He is very patient and understanding. And he's fun. He's humorous, but he makes you feel like you're important, and your question is fine. It's not like, oh, that I can't believe you don't know that. kind of thing. He's great that way.
Last week you had a youth tech camp. What was that about?
So we had, that was an area I'm very passionate about, kids and STEM, and feel it's very important, and came up with, let's do a camp for kids who, we didn't, again, have any criteria in the sense that they didn't have anything to fill out, but we really pushed it toward the Amphi area and to those that are socioeconomically challenged and can't necessarily afford some of these other tech camps. It was a one-week camp from 8:30 to 4, 5 days, included lunch, field trips, and they got to learn about computers, jobs in the tech area, recycling, went on field trips. They went to the cyber warfare range over at Pima Community Campus East, Community College Campus East. We went to Login, which how it stores data. So they got a great experience. And then we did, that was very successful. And at the end, they got a laptop. And we then decided, well, let's do it on certain school days out. And so our first school day out, one day program, it was a condensed version of it.
Mimi, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. This was awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been great. We will probably have you come back sometime if that's okay. And thank you everybody who's been listening, and thanks for the call, Roberta. And we're going to be back next week, probably the same crew. And I will have another exciting guest. I forgot who, but it'll be somebody sparkly.
Somebody famous, huh?
Somebody famous.
Or infamous.
So thank you for listening to Quality of Life Radio Show, sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center, and co-hosted by Ronald Zack from Ronald Zack Law and Quality of Life, and also Dr. Jack McGettigan. And there's this ding, this ringtinitis?
No, it's Charlesitis is what it
Charlesitis.
Is.
Charlesitis, that's good. We are going to be going down to We Care Tucson on Monday probably. Are you open Monday?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we're going to look for Macintosh. We're going to look at radios. We're going to pick up some incontinent products. And just looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to going by there. Anything from you, Charles?
I wanted to say that it's exciting. There's other resources in the community. If you're looking for something, feel free to call in on Swap Shop on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock and ask for anything you want. It is a legitimate ask to ask the community to donate to you. And the listeners have been very, very generous in terms of donating on stuff. And we're running into the theme music.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week, same time.
Have a great weekend, what's left of it.
Bye-bye.